We're in a series called Rooted, and today we're going to talk about rooted in hope. Amen. But for a moment or two, I want to talk about the goodness of God. From 2 Chronicles 6:41, it says, "Now therefore arise, O Lord, in thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests," well, you know, we are a kingdom of priests. "Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation." Well, we're clothed with salvation. And it goes on to say, "And let thy saints," well, somebody says, "I'm not a saint." Well, in Christ, you are a saint. Amen. Amen. If you're not born again, you're not a saint. But when you're born of God, you are a saint. Amen. And so he says, "Let all thy saints rejoice in goodness." Rejoice in goodness. Yeah. Now, we do not rejoice because everything is always good, but we rejoice because God is always good. You know, in James chapter 1, he told us to count it all joy. Amen? And I'm assured of this very one thing, that God's people don't rejoice enough. I believe that if we would rejoice enough in good times, in bad times, and in between times, we would have strength to endure, and we would have strength to finish our course with great joy and great strength. So let all thy saints rejoice in thy goodness. We can all come up to another level of rejoicing, can we not? Amen. You can rejoice at home. You can rejoice in your car. You can rejoice wherever you are. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes? No. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he wanted to reemphasize, "And again, I say unto you, rejoice." So how do we come up to another level? Well, number one, we need to talk about how good that God's been to us individually. Yeah. Psalms 145 and verse 7 says this, "They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness." Utter the memory of thy great goodness means speak it, rehearse it, declare it. What the Lord has done for you ought to be talked about. It ought to be rejoiced about. And notice it says, "And shall sing of thy righteousness." So there's the rejoicing involved. The more you talk about just how good God is, the happier you're going to get down on the inside. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 107:2, it does not say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord hide it." No, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So another aspect of coming up to another level of rejoicing is we can testify to others about what God has done for us. Now, you want to be led by the Spirit of God, who you talk to and who you tell it, because not everybody's going to rejoice with you. And the Holy Spirit will help you to show people who you can talk to about what the Lord has done for you. Amen? And I think it's important for us also to remember that we need to share with others what we've been through. Amen? What we've been through and how God has brought us through. Has God brought you through anything? We've all walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but thank God we're not afraid because He's with us. We're not afraid because He's for us. And we are not afraid because He's living on the inside of us. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. So faith in His goodness then is expressed through your words. Philemon verse 6 says this, that the communication or the expression of your faith may become effectual. That word effectual is powerful. One preacher said years ago, the word effectual means divinely energized. So it says this, that the communication of your faith may become divinely energized. How? What vehicle is that through? By the acknowledging, by the declaring, by the confessing of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So faith becomes divinely energized when you talk about who you are in Christ and who Christ is to you. We can talk about all the good things that are ours because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of Him are you in Christ Jesus." Say it with me, "I'm in Christ Jesus." "Who of God has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Is wisdom a good thing?
Yes.
Well, wisdom is in Christ, and you are in Christ. So we are to acknowledge in Christ, I have the wisdom of God. I'm filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Amen. Thank God you have the wisdom of God. Is not righteousness a good thing? Thank God. In Christ Jesus, we've been made right in God's sight. So we need to acknowledge that on a consistent, regular basis, that we are in fact the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sanctification is a good thing. Redemption is a good thing. We are to acknowledge our sanctification. We are to acknowledge our redemption. Amen. Are you getting the point? So the good thing which is in you, that is in Christ Jesus, is this. He is in us the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 points that out. Ready, read it with me. To whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now point to yourself and say it like this. Christ in me, the expectation of glorious things. Christ in me, the expectation of goodness. You see, when God talks about glory, He equates glory with His goodness. They're one and the same. So Christ in you, He is the hope of glory. Now that word hope means this, expectation. Because Christ is in you, we can expect His glory. We can expect His goodness to show up in every area of our life. Woo, glory to God. I've already preached myself happy. Expectation is faith with its head lifted up. To expect also means to look forward to with great excitement. I can remember when my grandmother Thomas would come to see us on Christmas. She made those nice little white cookies. I don't know what you call them for Christmas. But you know, Tim and I, we shared a bedroom on the second floor, and we knew she was almost back to the house. They picked her up downtown at the bus station, and we knew that Maida Thomas was coming. So our necks were outstretched. We were expecting her to come because we loved her so much, and she loved us so much, and she brought cookies. And so this expectation is an outstretched neck. It's looking for the goodness of God in every area of our life. God wants us to have a heightened state of expectation in this day and this hour because He is on the move in our lives. How many of you can testify on your wedding day? Oh, I can remember we got married down there in Skeedy, Oklahoma in 1977 when I finally found the church. And I was there at the altar, and Brenda Raylene Edwards was about to become Brenda Raylene Edwards Thomas. I can remember at the altar, I'm looking. I'm expecting. Oh, what a wonderful day it is when you tie the knot. Amen. How many of you can remember when your babies were born? Or when you were pregnant, ladies? There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of preparation taking place. You were getting the rooms ready. You were getting the cribs ready. You were letting everybody know that it was almost time for your baby to come. See, what I'm saying is this. When you are expecting, you are excited. I can remember years ago, our oldest granddaughter, Olivia, who is 16 years old right now, a beautiful young lady. She was very young. I don't remember how old she was. But she did a little video and she said, guess what, guys? 6 years old. Guess what, guys? I'm going to be a big sister. And I'm so excited because I've never had one. What a wonderful thing it is to be expectant. He is the God of hope. And He wants to fill all of us with joy in believing. That we may abound and bubble over with a glorious expectation of things that are good in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Now, remember this now. When you're expecting, sometimes we run into delays. Don't allow delays to cause you to lose your hope. Why is that? You've heard this phrase before. Because delays are not denials. Amen. Say that with me. Delays are not denials. Now here's what happens when we lose hope. Here's what happens. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 22 describes it very well. It says, hope deferred or hope put off or delayed makes the heart sick. But when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. Now listen to what the Message translation says of Proverbs 13, 20, or 12. It says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn it around. I tell you what, God is into the suddenlies. Don't lose your grip on God's hope. Don't allow it to fade. Don't give it up. Amen? Believe God for suddenlies. Believe Him for sudden breakthroughs. Has anybody ever seen a suddenly before their lives? Ooh, glory to God. He's the God of the suddenlies. He is the God who can turn things around on a dime. He can turn what's going on in your body quickly. He can turn what's going on in your finances quickly. Amen. He can do it. And so let's not lose our grip on the God kind of hope. And let's stay steadfast, shall we not? And believe to see God move in our lives. Amen. So don't be discouraged. Don't get upset. Expect God to act. Now the Bible talks about hope as an anchor for your soul. Now our soul is made up of our mind and our will and our emotions. Okay? And that's where the enemy likes to access. That's where he likes to bring thoughts of failure. That's where he likes to bring thoughts of you're not good enough. All those things come from the enemy. He is a defeated foe.
Amen.
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 But it's not just good enough, you know, to say he's a defeated foe. He needs to know that you know that he is a defeated foe.
That's right.
He needs to know that you know that he's under your feet.
Amen.
And so these bombarding thoughts come to each and every one of us. Now, the Word of God says in Hebrews, this is a great verse of Scripture concerning hope. Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. Notice this with me. It says, which hope we have. Which hope we have as what?
As an anchor.
It is an anchor of our soul and steadfast which enter in to within the veil. So what does an anchor do for a boat? An anchor for a boat holds it steady. An anchor for a boat keeps the boat from drifting. Hope as an anchor of your soul gives you great rest. It holds you firm. It holds you steady in a time of turbulence or in a time of a storm. So this hope then becomes an anchor to our soul. It holds us steady. Amen. Now, notice with me, in the Word of God, it says this, that the enemy is a liar. And he is the one that is bringing all of these things to our soul.
Yeah.
Now, when the devil starts talking to you, how many of you know you got to talk back?
Right.
You have to answer his lies.
Yeah.
Answer his lies with what?
The Word.
Answer his lies with the truth. The opposite of a lie is the truth. For everything Satan tells you, on the other end of what he's saying to you, is the truth.
That's right.
If he says sick, you say healed.
Yeah.
If he says poor, you say rich.
Yeah.
If he says sad, you say glad. Amen.
Yeah.
For every tormenting thought that he brings to your soul, there is a liberating word that comes from the Bible that will not only make you free, but it will keep you free.
Amen.
So when he comes with his lies, you've got to answer it. Now, it's really important that you know how to answer him. Because if you don't know what the Word says, the Bible says you're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why we in this church for decades, we've been here 44 years, in this church for decades, we emphasize the value of God's Word. And knowing God's Word. And staying in God's Word. And meditating in God's Word. And declaring God's Word. You see, for us to live an overcoming life, God's Word must be our final authority. It must be our final authority. Somebody said, well, Pastor Mark, I don't know about that. I've got my truth. Uh-uh. Your truth does not line up with the truth. When your truth lines up with the truth, you're okay. But if you have these flaky my truths, you've been deceived. So what I'm saying is this. You need to know how to answer the lies when they come. Answer it. Get in the Word. Find out what the Word of God says about your circumstance. Find out what God thinks about you. Find it out. Meditate on it. Act on it. Live it and speak it. And you'll be in a good place where you can answer all of the lies of the evil one. So when he starts talking to you, you got to get sassy and just start talking back. Just start talking back. Amen. I believe it's over in the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 10, verse 23 in the Amplified. Notice with me, it says here. In other words, what I'm saying is never let the devil have the last word. Right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Amplified says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering, the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. And Brenda talked about this during the offering. Let's read the rest of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word.
He is faithful.
He's faithful to his word. And he's faithful to his people who stand on the word and live in the word and return his word to him.
Good. Amen.
Amen. I got to thinking about this the other day, and Jesus said this, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. So when we give an altar call, don't be ashamed and don't be afraid to raise your hand. And don't be afraid to openly, boldly open your mouth and confess Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Sometimes we give altar calls and we invite people to come to the altar. Don't be ashamed.
That's right.
Don't be afraid. God loves you. His hand is upon you. And what you do when you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you say he is Lord, he confesses you before your Father, which is in heaven. And I got to thinking about that. Well, if that works for salvation of our spirits, it also is going to work in other areas. If we confess his word of healing before men, he is the apostle and high priest of our confession, and he will confess it before our Father which is in heaven. And our Father which is in heaven will watch over his word to perform it on our behalf. Woo! Glory to God. Don't be afraid to say what God's word says about you. Don't be afraid to say that he meets all your needs. Don't be afraid to say that you're full of joy. Don't be afraid to say what God has said about you. He is the apostle and high priest of your confession. Woo! Glory to God. He will get the Father's attention on your behalf. And when the Father is attentive to what you're saying, he's watching. He's watching over his word. He's watching over his word to put on a grand performance. Hallelujah. I love it. So never let the devil have the last word. If you want to be the last man standing at the OK Corral, then you better be standing on your blood covenant. You better be standing on something that endures. You better be standing on something that's stable. Standing on someone and something that is firm. Reliable and faithful is he. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering being consistent, not one day up, one day down, next day almost level to the ground. No, without wavering, the hope, the expectation that we cherish. And let us confess our acknowledgement of it. For He is faithful, reliable, and sure to His word. Amen. Woo, glory to God. So talk about your hopes. Retain them. Hold fast to them. Don't let go. Keep your hopes alive. I believe that the Spirit of God wants me to just say that a couple more times. Keep your hopes alive. Don't draw back. Somebody says, but it's been such a long, long, long time. In whose book? A long time? 2 months, 3 months, 2 years isn't a long time. Not on God's time. Listen, folks, you just stay in now faith. You stay in the present. You stay in now faith because your faith is giving substance to those things that you hope for.
Amen.
Amen. Faith is your firm foundation that you stand on. And as you stand on that firm foundation of God's word, it will give substance to those things that you hope for. Amen.
Amen.
See, listen, as long as I have hope, I have possibilities. We've been here for decades and decades. Pastor Tom, Pastor Kimberly, Pastor Nance, you guys, many of you guys have been here for many decades. We have not yet seen out here what we've seen down here. We have not yet known out here what we know down here. We're thankful for what we've seen. We're thankful for what we've known. Amen. We are grateful for that. Oh, we just know on the inside of us, we have a confident, favorable expectation of an invasion of the glory of God, an invasion of great harvest in the Bay Area. How many of you are tracking with me? But you know, sometimes if you went by what you saw, you'd let it go. You'd look for another church. There's pastors that quit their church every 2 years or so. Why? Because they're discouraged, because they let their hope go.
Come on now.
I'm not going anywhere.
Come on.
We're not going anywhere. We've got our stake in the ground.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I'll be honest with you. I used to have U-Haul ministry temperaments on Monday mornings. I used to have the U-Haul syndrome on Monday mornings. Why?
Well, the crowd was a little lower and people weren't shouting and saying amen and they don't appreciate.
Now, this is when my 20s and 30s now. I've grown just a little bit. I have been delivered from the U-Haul syndrome. And some of you need to get delivered from the U-Haul syndrome in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, and in your health. No bailing out, no quitting, no looking back, but pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You got too much life to live. You got too much joy to live in. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't you let the devil put you in a box. Amen. You need to be like Diana Ross and say, I'm coming out. Amen. Come on now, somebody. How many of you are coming out? How many of you are going to break out? You're going to break through. Hallelujah. You're going to go to the other side. Woo! Glory to God. I want the devil to see that I'm coming out anyway. Look at your neighbor and say, don't draw back, don't draw back, don't draw back. See, as long as you have hope, you have possibilities. You have possibilities. Because everything in this world is subject to change except God. He said, I am the Lord and I don't change. He said, so don't look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are only temporary. But keep your eyes on the unseen. Keep your eyes on the Master. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of your faith. Because that which is unseen is eternal. Amen. What I'm going through is subject to change. What you're going through, it's subject to change. It's simply a season. A season does not define you. I'm going to say that again. A season does not define you. It does not change your ultimate destiny. It does not change the place where God desires for all of us to be. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So we are not hopeless, regardless of what the enemy says about us. We are not hopeless, regardless of what people have said about us in the past. It's not what they say about us that matters. It's what God has said and what you say about yourself that matters. It matters a lot. So we do not have to yield to the labels that people have put on us in the past. Jabez is an awesome example. You remember Jabez? Well, let's look at him just for a moment in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I have borne him with sorrow." The word Jabez means born in pain. It's not a great thing to have your name called pain. But here's what Jabez did. Jabez said, "I'm coming out. This has been a label that's been put on me, but I'm not going to stay in this box." So what did Jabez do? Jabez prayed. He didn't complain. He didn't moan. He didn't groan about his past experience. He prayed. And notice what he said. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, enlarge my territory, and oh, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not grieve you." Now notice with me, "and God granted what he had requested." So Jabez did what some of us need to do. We need to rise up. We need to rise up. We need to rise up. God, lift me out of this label. God, help me and lift me out of this box that I've been put in. Why? Because my expectation is from you. And the same God that granted Jabez his request will grant you your request. You need to ask. You need to think big and ask big. And let God do for you the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I pray that God would enlarge your coast. I pray that God would enlarge your territory. And that he would bless you coming in and bless you going out. And that you would be a greater blessing in the days ahead than you have been up till now. This is my prayer. That God would enlarge our territory. Amen. See, some of us have been labeled. I got labeled as a kid. You know, they thought that I wasn't going to make it. They thought I'd be in prison by the time I was 21. Thank God I didn't make that one. He's a delivering God. He's a good God. But you know, a lot of times people look at children or teenagers and they have this attitude, there's no hope, there's no help for them in God. But aren't you glad that he is our shield? He is our glory. He is our goodness. And he is the lift. Come on, somebody. He is the lifter. 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 He's the lifter of your head. Not only is he the lifter of your head, but he is the lifter out of that circumstance that you're in right now. He is the lifter of your financial situation. He is the lifter of your babies that have not yet come to Christ. He is the lifter. And we need to proclaim boldly, you are my shield. You are my God. And you are lifting me. Amen. Say it with me, labels do not define my destiny. Now, in closing, in Revelation chapter 12, now we quote a lot of times the verse 11 during communion, and we quote it a lot in this church. It says, they, that's you and I, overcome him. By what?
The blood of the Lamb.
Are you all still here?
Yes.
Come on, it's only 11:13 now. You're still here, right?
Yes.
Let's do this again. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Testimony. Testifying of what the blood has done. Testifying of what God has done. Testifying of the victory that has been won. Testifying all day long. Lifting up your voice with a brand new song. Testifying that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the Rhema. That's the spoken word of our testimony. But now before verse 11 is verse 10. That's a revelation right there. You came for a heavy revy today. That's a joke, son. I say that's a joke. That's a joke. You recognize that, didn't you, Jimmy? All right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Notice this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now the enemy of our soul is called the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before the throne day and night. Now, the Greek word for accuser is kategoros. Kategoros. Kategoros is one who brings charges, one who brings labels, or one who categorizes. Kategoros is where we get the English word categorize from. The enemy is the great categorizer. He wants to slap a label on you, put you in a box and say, stay there. He categorizes. He tries to put us in a box. And if he can't get us to give up, the next thing he'll do is he will just try to contain our lives and just put a stinking label on us. You get the picture? He is the accuser of the brethren. He walks about as a roaring lion with his accusations, saying you're not bright enough. You don't have enough education. You grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't know what that means. You're in the wrong family, but now you have a new family.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. You got a new father. So he comes to box us in. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I like what Keith Moore says, I'm a may not. How many may nots we got in the house? I'm a may not. He may not devour me. He may not devour you. Why? Because he has given us the faith whereby we can resist him. In the same context of that verse, it says, whom resist steadfast with your faith. Amen? And so we see here that he's a categorizer. He wants to put us in a box. He wants to label us. You can go this far, but no further. You cannot achieve more. You cannot do more. You'll never be more. You'll never influence more. Just stay in the box. That's your label. That's your category. This is who you are. This is what you are. But heaven has already spoken. Come on, somebody. God has already labeled you. They said you can't, but God says you can. They say you won't, but God says you will. Hallelujah. They say you've only gone so far, but God says you're going all the way. the way.
All the way.
Woo, glory to God. Heaven has already spoken. God's word has already labeled you and put you in a very special category. Oh, glory to God. What category is that, Pastor Mark? It's the chosen generation. It's the purchased possession. It's the redeemed. It's the blessed. It's the righteous. It's the healed. It's the more than the conquerors. It's the empowered. Heaven's labels always override hell's accusations. So find out what he's labeled you and rise up on the inside of you and declare, I'm coming out of this box. I'm coming out of this limit. I am not limited one day longer, because my God is freeing me from the limitations of the enemy. Amen. Well, did you get anything about it today? Come on, let's stand up and let's give God some praise. Glory.